In the process of trying to get hold of you, I was telling the listeners about your new book, The Circadian Code, and the idea of fasting. And we'd like to hear from you, the work you've done in the Salk Institute, about the science of this fasting.
Yeah, so it's actually not having food for 10 to 14 hours. We don't consider this as fasting, but rather our body's natural process to go through some period of downtime to repair, reset, and rejuvenate. So some of the science we have done is very simple and straightforward. For example, we know there are nearly 11,000 scientific experiments done on animals where animals are given very unhealthy, high-fat, high-sucrose diet. They're allowed to eat whenever they want, and they become obese, diabetic, they have cardiovascular disease. Everything bad that can happen to us actually happens to these mice. But when we look carefully about this, at when these mice eat, we figure out that these mice do not have a circadian rhythm of eating. They're supposed to eat only when they're awake, but they actually wake up in the middle of their sleep and then they eat. We asked how much of this disease is due to diet versus due to eating at the wrong time. So we did a very simple experiment almost 6 years ago where we took two groups of mice that were born to the same mother, in the same room, had the same microbiome, were the same age, and we gave them the same diet. One group got to eat whenever they wanted, and then the other group was trained to eat the same number of calories from the same high-fat diet within 8 hours. That was the first experiment. And after 18 weeks, we made sure that these two groups had the same number of calories every day. And after 18 weeks, we had a huge surprise. That is, the mice that ate the same unhealthy diet within 8 hours were completely protected from obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease. There was a huge surprise. So we had to repeat the experiment 3 times to make sure that this is true.
I suppose, because we often hear about, you know, diabetes and eating lots of little meals. So to have... as you say, all the calories, but then it's that period of 8 to 12 hours where they are not eating, that's the important key.
Yeah, so they actually eat for 8 hours and then fast for 16 hours. That was the first experiment 6 years ago. We have repeated this now with feeding them for 8 hours, 9 hours, 10, 12, 15. And what we find is up to, say, 10 hours, these mice are completely protected from all this disease. And when they go beyond 12, then this protection is gone. So another exciting experiment that happened almost 4 years ago was we took obese and diabetic mice who had early signs of type 2 diabetes and then put them on this 10 hours or 9 hours eating window. We did not change their calories. We did not change their food type. They were still eating the same unhealthy food. And again, to a huge surprise, they completely reversed their pre-diabetes. They lost a lot of weight, and they became healthier. They could even run on a treadmill much longer than mice that are eating normal diet. So that highlights one key function of what we call circadian clock, that's present in almost every organ. So almost every brain chemical, every enzyme, every hormone, every digestive juice, and even every gene turns on and off at different time of the day. And then this orchestra of all these genes going up and down give rise to daily rhythms in our behavior, physiology, metabolism. The simple way to visualize this is just imagine an office building where certain things happen at certain time. In the early morning, the custodial staff come in, clean up the place. Then people show up. The mails and parcels come in at certain time. And the cafeteria opens at specific time. And things happen at a constant routine. So So similarly, our body has this constant program coded by the circadian clock. So body is supposed to, we are supposed to wake up at a certain time. Our digestive juice work much better at a certain time. Our disease-fighting cells are more primed at a certain time. So all these things happen at specific time. So the bottom line is, if we just like keeping appointment, going, showing up to the office, showing up at work at the right time is the simplest thing you can do to keep your job. And if you are late to work, if you are late to your school or college, then you lose grades, you lose job, sometimes you lose friends. Similarly, when you don't obey the internal circadian clock or code, then slowly we get close to all these serious diseases. So that's what our research has been showing for the last 7-8 years.
But do you find, I mean, this research, as you say, it's not new, and the science of looking at circadian rhythms is not new. Are there, you know, as you say, it was unexpected. You had to repeat it. It seems odd that it would be a surprise, given that studies have been done. Is it just that you were not looking at the hours of fasting before?
So the whole idea about circadian rhythm for a long time, even our lab was studying, was circadian rhythms are mostly driven by light and dark cycle. So we always thought that light that goes through this blue light sensing cells in our eye that entrains our circadian clock in the brain, and that in turn sends all this timing signal to the rest of the body. So that was the traditional way of thinking about circadian rhythms for almost 30-40 years. Then almost 10 years ago, we did a very simple experiment, and that was, by that time we knew every organ has a clock, our liver has a clock, gut has a clock, kidney has a clock. Now, then we're wondering, what happens if we feed mice at the wrong time? Will the light signal coming from the brain override the food signal, or the food signal will override the light signal? And to our surprise, what we found is when we feed mice at the wrong time, then all the circadian clocks in different parts of our body, and even half of our brain, a mouse brain, they forget to track light. They actually track when mice ate. So then there was a light bulb that went up, that turned on in our head. Said, aha, we are looking at the wrong thing for a very long time. The key to circadian rhythm in metabolism, physiology, and rest of the body function is actually when we eat, not when we see the first ray of light. So that changed almost 10 years ago. And then to test what is the significance of this, it took us a few years to do this high-fat diet experiment that I described to you. And it essentially told us that when we go through that 12 to 14 or 16 hours fast, then there are many things in our body, thousands of genes, that turn on only after 6 to 7 hours of fasting. And then they have to do their job for the next 5 to 6 hours. For example, these genes are the ones that break down cholesterol. They also break down some amount of fat. They are the ones, some of the hormones that help us to repair the lining of our gut. Then there are chemicals that will break down toxic products that we might have eaten in our food. So there is all this detoxification, repair, breakdown of fat. All that naturally happens only after 5 to 6 hours of fasting, and then it has to go on for another 5 to 6 hours to really clean up the system and prepare the body for another day of fully productive, very alert, and highly energetic day. So this is the natural rhythms that have to happen every day.
And so, you know, here in South Africa, we're coming close to 1 o'clock. So for many of us, you know, our circadian rhythms are out of whack. And research does show that people who work these kinds of unsociable hours struggle in terms of diet and weight issues. So it speaks to that.
Yeah, so actually, this is a very serious issue for all of us, not only for people who work the night shift, because what we're finding is just staying awake for, say, extra 5 to 6 hours for only 50 days in a week, in a year, so that is one day in a week, is as bad as doing a continuous shift work. This is because our circadian clock takes 3 to 4 days to readjust if you stay up for an extra 3 to 4 hours.
People do say that when I'm tired, I get cranky and I eat.
Yeah. So another thing that happens is when you're tired, just like you said, our brain cannot decide properly what we should be eating. And actually, we are more hungry. We feel more hungry than what our body needs, so we eat more. Mm. So the bottom line is, how do we manage this? Because in my book, I describe how we all are shift workers, because we stay up in the weekend at least. We become shift workers.
Yes.
So the key is just to pay some attention to when we eat, because we may be pressured to stay up late because we are taking care of a loved one, or we're prepping for exam, or just like you and I, sometimes we have to work in the night shift. But if we keep all our food within 10 hours when we are awake, that seemed to have the greatest benefit. And this is very important for us because we stay awake these days for 16 to 18 hours every day. And if we keep munching food for all those 16 hours, as long as our eyes are open, if our mouth is open, then we are breaking our rhythms more profoundly. So figuring out 10 hours, a maximum we can go up to, say, 12, and eat all our calories within that 10 to 12 hours. But outside that, we can still drink water, we can still have our medications, supplements, etc., is one powerful way to reduce the risk of disease. The second thing is we are spending almost 90% of our time indoor, and we don't get enough bright light. So going outside for at least 30 minutes and getting some daylight, we don't have to stare at the sun. Hmm. We don't have to be even under the bright midday sun. Even under tree canopy or in a cloudy day or even before sun rises or little after sunset, we can still be outside and get at least a couple of thousand lux of light for 30 minutes. At the same time, after evening, it's better to avoid bright light and maybe avoid some blue light. Now, most of our screens have some programs to remove blue light or reduce blue light. And the reason is, by reducing blue light, we can boost our sleep-promoting hormone melatonin at night. And during daytime, by going to bright daylight, we can boost all the hormones that increase our alertness and happiness during the daytime. And then the nice thing is, both of these are free and plentiful.
Yeah.
We just have to step outside in the daytime, get the best antidepressant nature has created for us, and soak up for half an hour. And after the evening, the only thing we have to do is maybe program all our screens to switch to less blue light and maybe dim down our lights in the room. And that will help us to increase this melatonin. And if we do this too, then that will help us to go to sleep pretty well. So even those who are not getting 7 to 8 or 9 hours of sleep, if we can get into deep sleep for 6 to 7 hours, that's great. And what we're finding is people who eat for 10 to 11 hours maximum, they also reprogram their sleep in a way that they get into deeper sleep. So really the key lies in eating time and your light. And if you do these two correctly, then falling asleep and getting into deep sleep automatically happens. So that was another surprise that we found in the last few years of research.
Now, you started your work with mice. Does that translate to humans?
Yes, we have done a few human studies. The first study was done to see when people eat. So we have an app that's called My Circadian Clock, and people can visit the website called mycircadianclock.org and sign up for the study. So in the first study that we published, we had 156 people. We asked them when they eat, and we found that nearly 50% of adults eat for 15 hours or longer. So that means these people were eating as long as they were awake. And we took a few people out of that cohort and then asked them, can you just self-select 10 hours and try to eat everything within that 10 hours? We didn't tell them what to eat, how much to eat. The only suggestion was 10 hours eating.
Yeah, you just give them a lot of freedom. I would expect, though, if you work within your circadian rhythms, you possibly have less of an urge to eat all those unhealthy things, or can you not say that?
No, that's actually, you brought up a very interesting point. We find that eating within 10 hours is the first domino, and once it falls, then everything else falls into place. The reason is, once they eat within 10 hours, then all the late-night mindless munching and sipping wine or beer reduces. So all that extra calories coming from an unhealthy food goes away. So in that way, people reduce some calories and also improve their nutrition quality. Because after 12 to 14 hours of fast in the morning when they're hungry, if you think for a while, breakfast is really the only meal on which we have complete control, because we eat it at home, we can think of what to eat. As soon as we get out of our home, we don't have control over our food. So these people eat much healthier, bigger breakfast. They eat a small lunch and then a small dinner.
I'm going to need to cut you there because we're running out of time. Thank you so much for your time on Cape Talk. It is much appreciated.
Thank you.